satisfied. And all of a sudden, there was sound and music. He stood there. That was a precious moment. I should have taken up a Polaroid or a picture. You know? Wow, this is new. And he did that for every disco on that thing. There were like 10 of them. And he's mesmerized. Now, he's mesmerized for like the last 3-4 days. I'm just going to count and see how long his wonder won't last. Isn't that something like our Christian life? You first come to know Jesus Christ. Wow! You didn't know what you had. See, some of us are living in a form. Maybe you're not a believer. You don't know the riches, the greatness of Jesus. You don't know A to Z about the Christian life. You're not a believer. But then, you know, you come the first time, your eyes will open and say, wow, this is what I've got in Jesus. Did it last? The wonder? I need to pray that the wonder will stay. I just read an experience of one of my favorite writers, Yancey. He was with a friend at Old Faithful Yellowstone National Park. The old guy saw the visa. It's clockwork. In the restaurant, you look out, you can see the thing coming up, and they have a clock there for the kid tells you when the thing will shoot up. And so 2 minutes before it's due to fill up the water, he went out with his friend, and a whole bunch of Japanese tourists were there already for the moment to take the picture. And then they looked back at the restaurant, waiting, all the servers and waiters. Not a single one looked at Old Faithful. Why? This is Old Faithful. Something that is so beautiful, mysterious, amazing. It's seen everywhere. And after a while, it becomes normal. And after a while, it becomes boring. And after a while, you don't even have to look at it. See, the Christian life can be like that. It can be so wonderful. So I have, Dr. Sen tells us that we all have blind spots, at least one in each eye. And that's a simple blind spot test, this little bulletin. See the cross and the black dot? So the instruction is very clear. It takes only 1 minute. Close or cover your left eye. Okay, left eye. Stare at the cross, which is on the left side. Close your left eye. Look at the cross and bring the sheet, not the screen, sorry, that's a typo. Bring it towards you. And about 10 us that we are blessed before we are even created. We are blessed. Who are we? We are blessed. And he talks about praises to God. Christians simply need to know that we have this relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, maybe some of you are not believers. If you are not a Christian, then you don't understand this. There is a minor difference. And I pray that the blindness will be taken away. You can see that in Jesus Christ, you have all these wonderful blessings. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If Jesus is your Savior, you are blessed. So am I. So Paul is so excited about this wealth that we have as Christians. But do you know that chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 14, is one long sentence? It may not be apparent to you why, but it is the full stop. There is no full stop in the Greek. It's 14 verses. One whole sentence. Because Paul is so excited. This is who we are. We have all these blessings. And 11 times in the first chapter, he has the word in Jesus Christ. Or through him. As a result of Jesus, we have this wealth. Everything has to do with the fact of whether we are connected with Jesus. If we are connected with Jesus, we have all this wealth. And then he goes into praise. He prays God for all his blessings. From verse 3, he says, praise to the Father, the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In verse 4, he says, for he chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world. Before we had anything good or bad, we were already chosen. He predestined, verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Jesus Christ. Do you see the connection that we have with Jesus? If we don't have the connection, we don't have the blessings. Five times in this book, he talks about the fact that we have all this in the heavenlies. That is not heaven. In the spiritual realm, that's what he meant. And the reason is that in chapter 6, the same word is used when he talks about spiritual warfare. In chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's not heaven. See, in heaven we will have peace. There will be no more warfare. We don't have to struggle anymore. We will be holy. The promise is that we still struggle in the heavenly. Why? Because in the heavenly realm, Satan is still here. He's not judged. The Lord is not back yet. So, brothers and sisters, my question to you is, do you feel wealthy this morning? I hope when we get out of the service this morning, you will say, Pastor, I'm so wealthy. I suddenly realize that I'm wealthy. I am rich. I am loved by the Heavenly Father. This is our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you appreciate that. And so, Paul says, if you don't appreciate that, maybe memorize verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, it's so hard to translate that, the eyes of your heart, I pray that your heart, heart's eye, will be opened, will be enlightened, in order so that us for, in verse 11, for he chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world. Meaning to say that it's not because of how handsome or pretty you are that God chose you. It's not because of how smart you are. It's not because you have great parents that God chose you. God's choice is in God. We don't know why, but he chose us. If you are sitting here and you know that you know Jesus Christ, can you imagine that he chose you before I was born? He knew that I'm going to be here. He loves me. I hope you wrap your mind around that. once they start, they cannot go back on their words. Now, this is something that is similar to adoption in the U.S. You know that you can disown your own children and take them out of the home. But if you adopt somebody, all the other because Jesus died. And when Jesus died, he bought all this for eternity. Are you enjoying it? And the fourth thing is praying to the Ephesians that they will have wisdom and revelation, that they might know the great power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that raised us from the dead. You know how much effort it takes for a person to become a Christian? Do you know in America? After so many years, it's not by surprise. Every year, around his birthday, the group would throw him a party. And so I will always get invited. But I could never make it. I always have to apologize. I buy him a gift and I'm sorry. Because his birthday happens to be the most important day in the year of my wife's birthday. So you think, whose birthday would I attend? Of course my wife's birthday, right? And so I will ask him, one time, can I just pop in during the birthday celebration one time? I can make it for half an hour. Or I can get permission from my wife to go there. Do you mind if I share the gospel, my testimony, with them? You know, he's a leader of a men's Bible study in his church. And he had to know his group of like friends. We are Muslims. We are Hindus. So please pray for me, it's coming up in September. Okay, I'll be inviting them. I don't know how many of them will come. But I want to take the opportunity to share. Do you know why? Nobody knows why. You know, many people have distorted versions of the gospel. A Christian is somebody who goes to church, just like a person who goes to McDonald's and hamburger. It's not true, right? Why do you go to church? You may not be a Christian. So I need to dispel those myths by telling them the truth. So please pray for me that I'll be able to do that. I hope that as you think about this, if you have never shared with your friends, it's your responsibility. Take a man who is so wealthy. Never share your wealth with people that you love. I hope you will change your mind. I hope you will also think about the misery that an unsaved person will experience. Think about what they will experience in eternity if they don't have Jesus Christ. And I'm going to remember what I'm going to do. So are you going? Are you the kind of Christian who just enjoy what it means to be a Christian? Joe just walked out. Joe Chen, you know, I'll be telling his name to you. You know, Joe Chen begins to be talking back and forth. He's half a China. He's half a Chinese. He wants to go. He wants to do something. And so he got involved with New Day Ministry. Some of you old enough to remember that. He got involved with New Day to share the gospel. And then he got involved with ESL. And then he got involved with the NC State Student Fellowship. He's still going there on Friday night. And then, 2 years ago, he sort of quit his job at Cisco. Cisco. He quit his job at Cisco and went to China. Right? Still work for Cisco, but Cisco came in China. Okay? And he has to send with his whole family over. For his whole family to go over. Why would somebody do that? And then he came back and I asked him, he said, I'm taking early retirement. Wow, he's so much younger than me and he's taking early retirement so that he can serve you. You ever find people doing that? You know, spending time serving you, serving the church. I'm sure the devil has a field day with him. So stupid. somebody has to pay the price. Somebody has to go to China to tell people about Jesus Christ. Somebody has to send Hudson Taylor to China. Maybe you are here because your father or your grandfather, your great-grandfather in China came to know Jesus Christ. I hope you are grateful. Somebody has to pay the price in order for us to have an overflowing life. Somebody has to pay the price we have to go. It's never easy. When you face tough times living for Jesus, I hope you remember this picture. It's taken from one of those outtakes in your Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. This is what it looks like when I complain to Jesus about how hard my life is. And when you see the picture, it's just a depiction. It's all bloody and bruised. Jesus went to the cross and actually died. Have you died yet? Have you been bloody and bruised because you shed Christ? And nowhere near what Jesus suffered. So I pray that when we start 2019, the hopes and dreams that God has for each one of us, I pray that you be thinking, well, it's going to be hard. Jesus did it. God did it. Joe did it. And I can do it. Last week, this is a quote from a non-Christian Indian doctor in Singapore. At a conference, this is what they said. We have ups and downs in life. When you go for God, there will be ups and there will be downs. There are days when you'll be so disappointed with things, you know. Life is hard. He says that ups and downs in life are very important to keep us going. Because a straight line, even in an ECG, ECKG, means we are not alive. Because we are alive, we have ups and downs. And because we are alive,